This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. Yes, Buffalo Bills are on the clock as we continue previews of the AFC East. Sal Capaccio joining us on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle, save on home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Sal? Thanks for joining us as always. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Even made more special by, did you intentionally play Goo Goo Dolls on the Buffalo?
We did. We did. That's how we've been rolling this morning on Australian music for Cam Smith and Buffalo music for Bills preview. So
one of my favorites. If anybody wants, go search their July 4th concert back in Buffalo, early 2000s, in the pouring rain downtown. One of the most epic YouTube videos you'll ever watch.
Awesome. That's great. All right, so let's get to most people, probably the most memorable thing of the postseason was the game against Kansas City. And as you know, some teams play the game the best way they possibly can. They come up short. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. And there's others where you go, even in circumstances like that, there were still things that could have been done right or better. What did the Bills learn about that game in particular when they left Kansas City going into 2022?
Yeah, there was a long debate here and a lot of talk about, you know, them leaving it on the table in 13 seconds and not squib kicking and not defending and how they played that out. It was more negative than positive here for sure because the team lost. But I think what they learned was they need to close the game, and that's why they went out and got Von Miller, guys. I think that the organization believes if Von Miller's on the field, the Chiefs don't score in 13 seconds. He gets to Patrick Mahomes in one of those plays. That's why they gave him the money they gave him, even at his age, to say, look, this is it. Like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl here, and we need to close these games out. And the reason we didn't close that game out was really on defense, not on offense, because they scored like they did. And we need to have somebody, an elite pass rusher, to get to the quarterback to do that in that situation.
In terms of other things, was there other things throughout the season besides Von Miller that they said, look, offensive line didn't play particularly well last season? Was there upgrades in that this offseason?
Well, yeah, I know. Look, I think it's always tough to judge the Bills' O-line because you have such a scrambling quarterback in Josh Allen, right? What might be a breakdown in sack and you know, make turns into him scrambling around might also be him just using his athleticism. There was a changeover at offensive line and really the whole offense, and that was Brian Daboll obviously getting the head coaching job with the Giants, and he brought with him Bobby Johnson, their offensive line coach. But the Bills brought in Aaron Cromer, very well respected. He actually was here in Buffalo under Rex Ryan, I think one of the better O-line coaches in the game. He's a technician. He's going to help these guys, I think, whereas – I think Bobby Johnson was more of the, you know, a bigger kind of, much more about the brute kind of stuff and bringing that mentality. I think Aaron Cromer's going to be more of a technician to allow them to do a little bit differently on the offensive line. But I think the other things, you know, are just basically spreading the ball around and being able to find alternate solutions when teams take away their top targets, like a Stephon Diggs or a Dawson Knox. You know, I tell you guys, when Dawson Knox went out for a couple weeks, that's when the offense kind of ticked down a little bit. No surprise, they go out, they get O.J. Howard, James Cook, obviously. They need another weapon out of the backfield. I've been telling people, really, over this whole offseason, we need to train ourselves in Buffalo to kind of strip away the titles of these players and just realize that they're all weapons and they're going to use them in different ways.
Let's talk about Brian Daboll and his departure. A lot of it was, there was a lot of continuity in Josh Allen's growth. Now that's disrupted a bit. But it's not like they went out and got somebody else. Ken Dorsey just kind of steps in. What is the feeling about Ken Dorsey taking over that role and his relationship with Josh Allen?
Well, Sean McDermott told us back a couple of months ago during one of the mini camps, he said he was asked, what if it was somebody from the outside? What would be the difference between now? And he said they'd be light years behind where they are now. That's the difference. Yes, they lost Brian Daboll, but the reason why Ken Dorsey was elevated was exactly that. They don't want to disrupt that. They want to keep the continuity. This is been Josh's quarterback's coach for the last 3 years. They're not going to change much on offense as far as the terminology. He's going to have his own wrinkles. They're going to do their own thing in their own way. That's what all new offensive coordinators do, but it's really not going to disrupt that. I think the biggest question is, he's a first-time play caller, guys, right? I mean, he's going to have to work through these solutions. But Sean McDermott is very, very smart. When he got hired in Buffalo, he surrounded himself with veteran coaches all over the board because he was a first-time head coach. Well, look what he did now for Ken Dorsey. He surrounded himself with a quarterback room full of people who have been there. Joe Brady, obviously, who was at LSU, who was a play caller in Carolina. Aaron Cromer, who obviously I just talked about, who was an interim head coach, who's been an offensive coordinator. They even brought in Mike Shula to help out, who's been on staff before. Like, these are guys that are going to help out Aaron Cromer to kind of, if there's ever situations where they come up, hey, this is a first-time situation for him, he can rely on that. And I think Sean has done a very calculated job of building this coaching staff to insulate and help him out. But as far as Dorsey and Allen goes, I will tell you that Ken Dorsey gets absolutely high marks and high regard from Josh Allen at every turn.
Last year, they don't lose a lot of games. They lose six, and there was the 9-6 game against Jacksonville or whatever. But it felt like in losses, overtime in to Tampa Bay on the road, Tennessee where Josh Allen slips trying to get that fourth down, a couple of others. Maybe the loss to the Colts is an outlier, but the loss to New England and how they responded to that loss to New England. Because I want to get to that, because not only is it memorable, that classic overtime game against the Chiefs, but what they did to the Patriots in the wild card round or the first round, that was really mind-boggling. How they were against the Bill Belichick defense, they play a perfect game.
Yeah, guys, it was the only time when the Bills went up to New England the day after Christmas last year. It was the first time in Bill Belichick's head coaching career that a team did not punt against him. He did not force a punt. And then the Bills did it again in the playoffs, which is absolutely amazing, right? I mean, they've kind of figured that out. I think, the Bills have done a really good job of finding matchups against that Patriots defense, which kind of, hasn't been the fastest defense in the world. The Bills said, let's figure out where we can get some speed, get the ball into a guy like Isaiah McKenzie's hands. Look what he did against the Patriots, right? They figured out really how to use Josh Allen, his legs. They did a lot of that in the Patriots games, where they really didn't do as much last year in some of the other games. Where they kind of dialed Josh back a little bit and then kind of opened him up as the season went on. You really saw it in the second half of that Tampa game where they started using him more, and then he did that. So, that was really a watershed moment. But look, I think there was a lot of intrinsic stuff going on against the Patriots. This is a team that just absolutely dominated the Bills and this fan base for 20 years. There was so much frustration from the organization standpoint, the fan standpoint, that the Bills just let it loose. And I think once they broke through and beat them, not last year, but the year before that, down there on Monday night and beat them the way they did in New England a couple years ago, I think that kind of just broke through that ceiling for them. And the Bills now believe we are the best team. Like, look, Stephon Diggs didn't get dominated by New England for 20 years. He just got here, right? Really, Josh Allen hasn't been. He's only been here for a few years. These guys, this is their division to them. They don't care about what Tom Brady and the Patriots did to them for 20 years. They're owning this division now and saying, this is our division. You have to come get us.
Yeah, and it must have been so gnawing to hear when they lost to the Patriots in that first matchup where it was windy and the weather was crazy, for them to go, well, it could still be the Patriots division. And they're probably like, not really. It's not really their division. This was a weird game, but we know we're on their level, if not better.
You know, what's funny is if you go back to that, after that game, I believe the Patriots had a one game lead on the Bills and had the game in hand. I had the head to head. So the Bills had to beat them, which they did, and pick up another game along the way, which they did, ultimately to win the division. But you're right. After that game, there was the same old, what I'll say, tired narrative of Bill Belichick playing chess, everybody else playing Candyland. Oh, my God, he outcoached Sean McDermott. It's really not true. I was on the field for that game. The elements were like nothing I'd ever seen in my life. Were there things that maybe the Bills could have done better? Yes. But you look at that game, every single statistic was tilted in the Bills' favor except for one thing, and that was one long run by the New England Patriots that won that game. It wasn't that Bill Belichick outsmarted Sean McDermott. It was the fact that there were a couple plays made here or there that the Patriots made, and the weather was incredibly conducive, or not conducive to playing the kind of football to even out. And then once they went to New England the day after Christmas, the weather was a lot better. Teams were a little bit more even up, and I think that's when you saw the talent gap between the two teams, and that's what the Bills have. There's a pretty big talent gap between them and the New England Patriots.
Sal Capaccio joins us, WGR in Buffalo, Bills sideline reporter. The running game, Devin Singletary, a lot of games Allen is the leading rusher. I don't know if that's by design or just circumstance. How much is Devin Singletary important to this, and do you think James Cook gets a lot of run in the backfield this year?
Singletary is a very important player for this team. Go back and look at the last 5-6 weeks of last year. It was very heavy Devin Singletary. He was one of the best running backs in the league. I think it was third and fourth in rushing yards.
Yeah.
Up there in yards per attempt. I think he was up there and maybe had the most touchdowns of any running back carrying the ball over the last 5-6 weeks in the NFL. It really started that second half of that Tampa game when they came out of the locker room. And they just basically said, all right, this is Devin Singletary now. We're not going to start dividing up carries anymore. Him and Zach Moss or last year, Matt Breida was there. And even Josh Allen. Yeah, we're going to sprinkle him in. But, I think that the way I've been saying it is the drafting of James Cook is not actually an indictment on Devin Singletary. I think it's an endorsement because he's not going to take away carries. He's really there to be a pass-catching running back. And then they'll sprinkle in some carries here and there. Look, Devin Singletary is going in the last year of his contract, last year of his rookie deal. I think the Bills are going to use him up. They're going to use him as much as they can. They're going to say, look, we're not saying he won't be here necessarily in 2023, but we got this guy for one more year. And he was really good down the stretch for us when we needed him. And now we have a compliment to him that we can put in certain situations. Do not sleep on Devin Singletary being a pretty primary ball carrier for this team. And I think what we've seen from the Bills, after they've given Josh this contract extension, after they know how important he is, they don't want to use him running the ball throughout the season as a primary ball carrier. You're going to see that in critical situations, fourth downs, fourth quarters, big third downs. You're going to see that late in the season, but you're not going to see it over the long haul as you would necessarily maybe early in his career.
Let's talk about the defense. You brought up Von Miller in the acquisition. Was this a great defense getting better, good defense getting better? How did they play in 2021?
Well, it's been a great defense for the last several years. They were number one defense in the league last year, you know, by points, by yards, I believe. But, you know, they've always been a great defense under Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier. It's stopping the pass, especially the deep pass. They're always up there, except for one year, I think, in their tenure, the Bills have been a top two or three defense in, you know, pass yards and plays given up, especially long plays. And it really starts with that secondary, the backbone, the safeties, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. As great as the Bills' defense was last year, think about this. They only had two All-Pros, one, and they're both the same position. One was Jordan Poyer, a first team, and one was Micah Hyde, a second team. That's how good they are. Now, there is a contract situation right now looming with Jordan Poyer. We are unsure if he's going to show up to training camp. I'm not saying there has been any talk that he won't, but you don't know how that's going to go because he wants an extension going into his final year, and he is 31. But that said, let's just assume everybody's there. Tre'Davious White, big question. He did get hurt last year. He's still recovering from the ACL. Is he going to be on the field? Well, guess what? They used their first-round pick on Kyer Elam out of Florida. So even if Trey isn't ready to play, you're going to have Kyer Elam there as well to kind of help man the ship. And then, of course, it's the front seven. What an overhaul they had. Out is Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Star Latulele, Harrison Phillips. In comes Von Miller, Daquan Jones, Tim Settle. This is a team that really wants to get after the quarterback and feels if they can get that extra sack or two in a game, that will be the difference to get them over the hump. So when you say, is it a great defense getting better? I think it is from that regard. But more than anything, to be honest, it's just a really solid defense that still should be really solid in all aspects.
I want to ask you a big picture question. I kind of like to do these things at the end where we get a larger perspective, whether it's the fan base, the city, et cetera. We all know about windows, and you can extend windows by bringing in players and whatnot, but it feels like the AFC is getting really tough. There's a lot more quarterbacks in this league, and it's difficult. If there's one fan base that people appreciate for their passion, it's Buffalo fans. We see it at every draft. I know in Nashville, they were so prevalent when they came. It was really fun to watch. But it also has that tough Super Bowl history. What's the feeling of this team and this how good it's put together and how close it's come to getting back to that Super Bowl? What is the feeling in the city? Anxiety, excitement, a little of both? What is the feeling in Buffalo?
Yes, it's both, but it's really kind of an interesting dichotomy because this is Super Bowl or bust this year for this team, this specific team. Like, they're built to win a Super Bowl. They should have made it to the Super Bowl last year, most people believe, I believe. I was on the field in Kansas City, right? I mean, we were all thinking the Bills were going to host Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game, and even though Cincinnati went to Kansas City, with all due respect, I think the Bills get to the Super Bowl then and maybe win it, all right, against L.A., but now it's, hey, look, like, you've been there. You've been to the AFC Championship game. You've been to the round before that 13 seconds. You got Von Miller. You got Josh Allen. This is it. Now it's time to win the Super Bowl. If they don't do that, short of injuries, you know, plaguing this team, and especially maybe Josh Allen or something like that, it's going to be a major disappointment in Buffalo. But the flip side is, this is a run that's not going to end. As good as the AFC is, the Bills are set up to compete for a long time. Josh Allen, think about this. His contract extension doesn't even kick in until next year. Like, he's still on his rookie deal, essentially, the way they structured it for this year. And then he kicks in next year for another 7 years. They just signed Stephon Diggs to a contract extension. All of their young players, their good young players, are pretty much locked up. Dawson Knox is going to be a free agent at Oliver in a couple of years. But pretty much that's the case. And they have one of the best GMs in the league in Brandon Bean, who knows how to keep the band together. But the other part is, I will tell you this, there is so much relief here because I don't know if a lot of your listeners know, there's always been questions about the Bills' long-term viability in Buffalo, second smallest market in the league,
right.
Older stadium. We're getting a new stadium here. It's it, man. The Bills are here for a long time. They're going to sign a 30-year lease, essentially. They're going to build it right across the street. It's going to take 4 years to build. It's going to be a great stadium. It's going to still be a home field advantage. But more than anything, it means the Buffalo Bills' future in Western New York is secure. And that is the anxiety that people have been kind of holding their breath about for a long time here, going back to when I was growing up in the 1980s about this kind of stuff. Not going to happen anymore. We know the Bills are here to stay.
I honestly think this, and I don't mean this just because you're on the show. I've said this before. I think there is that the Buffalo Bills in the NFL probably are the most if not the most, one of the top three most respected fan bases in all the sport. I mean, just for what they've went through, for the way they treated Scott Norwood when he came back, cheering him like crazy, you know, just that feeling. To hear that news, to know that that fan base, as passionate as they are, could lose that team, could have lost that team. You're right. It's been in the news on and off for years.
Yep, that's right. It's wild. And you go back and remember, Ralph Wilson passed away 2014. Terry and Kim Pegula bought the team in 2014, but there was a lot of questions. Toronto wanted the team. They wanted to move it up there. That didn't happen. Pegula's get it, and, of course, they own the hockey team here, the Buffalo Sabres downtown. So, you know, look, and I'll say this. Buffalo has gone through a rejuvenation. A lot of these cities around the country have these Rust Belt cities. I've been to Pittsburgh, Cleveland. They've gone through the same thing. Buffalo is really booming right now. I mean, that housing market is big time. Downtown is fabulous. There's so many things to do. You know, no longer is it this place where I think, you know, there might be a perception. Yeah, it snows. It's cold. Yeah, that's true. But guess what? Free agents want to come here. They see the facilities that are built. They see what the Bills are building. Then they get here. They don't want to leave. There's a famous quote. Jerry Glanville said this. Jerry Glanville said that he said, Buffalo made his wife cry twice. Once when she was told they had to move there, and once when she was told they had to leave.
It's amazing. It really is. I know some of my friends are from Buffalo. They talk about it like no other hometown I've heard of all the friends, and I've been around the country. It's unbelievable. Sal, always good having you on. I know we'll get you on during the regular season. Really appreciate your preview. Thank you so much, as always.
Anytime, man. Football's back. Enjoy it, guys.
You got it. Sal Capaccio, WGR, Buffalo 550, sideline reporter for the Bills. Right on the money about that city. All right. Went a little long, but we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.